You all know where we are, right? Kali Yagat. They're doing their renovations here, but I'm sure it's going to look different than I remember it so many times visiting in the past. But the transcendental significance of this place remains the same. This is the parikrama path. It used to be very nice and nice soft sand of Vraja. Now it's this asphalt of Kali Yuga. But right along here is where the river Jamuna used to flow. And these extensions were like docks or areas where the devotees of the Lord could have view of the Jamuna and enter into the Jamuna. We'll see how time permits and all other considerations, but during this year, 1 year we were here also when it was the Purushottam month year, and many devotees come to Braja in this year that is the same year as the Purushottam month. So we went on this Braj Prakrama path on Ekadasi day. Is anybody here that remembers that? Dinishta, do you remember that experience? It was like New York City at rush hour heading for the subways. All the way around the entire Prakrama path. Or going to a soccer game or some of the whatever else your experience might be. Wall-to-wall people, as wide as the path, non-stop, all the way around. Yes. All day long. We went early in the morning, we visited some places, Radha Damodar Temple and here and there, and we went back on the path and it was packed, and by the evening it was packed. All day long, packed. Very, what to speak of the rest of Braja, but this, just this area alone was with so many people. Some of our devotees do this on a regular basis. One devotee that lives here, that I spoke to while here, and every morning, part of the 80 rounds she chants every day is after Tulsi Puja, she does the Parikrama path and goes back and greets the deities and Guru Puja, then chants the rest of her 80 rounds a day, along with other seva to the deities. This is like a heartbeat of the devotees in Vrindavan. I think our Hare Krishna Food for Life program, headed by Rupa Raghunath, some of you know him, they hire someone to go around the Parikrama path every day and pick up litter because it was unsightly, the condition. Just to help beautify and make the a proper presentation of such a sacred place. And this particular location is Kali Yagat, where Krishna performed a very, very wonderful pastime. During his manifest lila here in Vrindavan. One day, every morning, Krishna would go out with the cows and the calves and the gopas, and as we heard earlier today, all day long simply play. It was called herding the cows. It would simply play. So one day, the cows and the calves, minus Balaram, Balaram stayed home that day. Doesn't say why he stayed home. Maybe it was his birthday. But he stayed home that day. But the normal path that the cows would follow is a little variegated, of course, but a certain routine they would follow in the course of the day. But this particular day, they went straight for the river Jamuna, because by the influence of the Lord's potency, his Yogamaya potency, they became uncontrollably thirsty. So they went straight to the Jamuna River and right here to the Kaliya Lake and began drinking water. Unfortunately, the water was terribly poisonous, and so they instantly fell to the ground as if dead. And Krishna was behind them. And when he came to the scene where he saw all the cows and all the cowherd boys stretched out on the ground as if dead, Krishna became overwhelmed and bewildered by his own Yogamaya potency. This is a very important part of the Leela. The Yogamaya potency is Krishna's potency, and Krishna's Yogamaya potency even acts on Krishna, so that his enjoyment of pastimes is increased. So when Krishna wants to enjoy his pastime of, just like we're, as we said earlier today, anything that we find in this world has its spiritual counterpart in the spiritual world. But it's without flaw or imperfection or inebriety. It's pure and unalloyed love. That is Krishna. Rasa vai saha, the Vedas state. Krishna is rasa. The absolute truth is rasa. So Krishna enjoys. And one of the ways in which he enjoys is this way, becoming bewildered. Just like when the cowherd boys entered into the mouth of the Agasura demon. Same thing. By Yogamaya potency, Krishna became bewildered. Because he understood this terrible Agasura demon wants to kill the cowherd boys. He wanted to say, Shukadeva Goswami says, he wanted to tell the cowherd boys, don't go. But before he could speak, they went. They were entering the mouth of the Agasura demon, and Krishna was thinking, they are completely attached to me. Without me, they have no life. And once they enter into Agasura's mouth, anything could happen. So it wasn't he would lose them, rather they would lose him. And the thought was an unthinkable thought. So he became influenced by his own Yogamaya potency. Then that particular feature of Yogamaya moved. Then Krishna thought the next thought. How will I free the cowherd boys at the same time kill this Agasura demon? How will I kill the demon without harming the cowherd boys? Now Krishna is omniscient. Why is he pondering how to do something? He's enjoying. Where does our capacity to think sequentially something come from? From Krishna. Krishna enjoys. But it's infallible. It's not like our process. When it's important when describing and contemplating, meditating, appreciating the pastimes of Krishna, it's It's all pure and perfect. It's not like us. We're like him, imperfectly. Then Krishna knew, yes, I know how to destroy a Gasura without the cowherd boys being harmed. So he entered into the mouth also and then expanded himself bigger and bigger. So when Krishna came to the Kali Lake and saw the cowherd boys and the cows looking as if they were dead, he was bewildered. But actually, even before he got to that location, it was his leela. He knew what was going to happen, and he knew what he was going to do. He knew that in this lake was a very terrible personality in the form of a snake. The scriptures give us a very wonderful explanation of how Kaliya got here and who Kaliya was. In his previous life, Kaliya was a sage whose name was Vedashira. During Satya Yuga, Vedashira was engaged in austerities and meditation, because that was the process of Satya Yuga, in the Vindhya Hills. And in a very, very beautiful ashram, high up in a mountain, very, very pleasing atmosphere, very peaceful, filled with flowering trees and sweet-sounding birds, first ideal place for meditation. So Astya Shira, another sage, happened to discover the same location and saw the beauty of the place, and so he approached Vedashira and suggested that somewhere nearby perhaps he could stay and also engage in meditation and austerities. And Vedashira's reply was, there's not room in this mountain for both of us. You're going to have to find another place. Astashira was amazed, said, you're a learned person, and certainly you know that the whole of creation belongs to Mahavishnu. He created it. It's his. How can anyone think this belongs to me or that belongs to me? You're an elevated personality. How can you think otherwise? Please reconsider. Vedashira repeated himself, this mountain is not big enough for both of us. You're going to have to find another place to do your meditation. Astashira said, I can't believe my ears. You're speaking like an envious snake. I curse you. You become a snake in your next life. And Vedashira replied, very well, I curse you. You become a crow. Now, what kind of behavior is this between sages? Not very sage-like. But actually, there was a higher purpose behind it. Between the cursing of each of the sages of the other, built in was a benediction that they would achieve during that lifetime as a crow and as a snake, perfection of life. You know, in Nila Parvat, in the description of the appearance of Lord Jagannath, the story of Nila Madhav, who was on top of Nila Parvat, and by Nila Parvat there was a Rohini Kund. You know this story? Rohini Kund. And one sage was describing this to King Indradumna. There is this place that it's so sacred that one crow, when going to drink some water from Rohini Kund, just by catching a beakful of water in Rohini Kund, immediately his body transformed into Vaikuntha figure and went ascending into the spiritual sky just by touching the water of Rohini Kund. That was Ashtashira. Vedashira became Kaliya. So those of you that have read the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam know that Daksha, the second Daksha, Daksha part two, had 10,000 sons, the Haryashvas, and 1,000 sons, the Subalashvas, and they were all made into perfected souls by the association of Narada Muni. Right? And then Daksha became very angry at Narada Muni, and Daksha cursed Narada. You cannot stay in one place for more than 3 days because of your serious offense against a great personality, namely myself. You've done injustice to my very elevated sons. So following the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, Daksha then produced daughters. And 11 of those daughters were awarded to Kashyapa Muni. And one of those daughters was Kadru. And from Kadru, and the combination of Kadru and Kashyapa Muni, many different, in fact, the daughters of Daksha with Kashyapa Muni produced so many varieties of forms of life. This is described in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. And one of those productions of the combination of Kashyapa and Kadru were birds. Garuda heading those birds, and snakes headed by Anantashesh. Now it's not that Anantashesh is born, but he, like Krishna, makes his appearance, and Garuda made his appearance in this way also. And so, amongst the serpents was Kaliya. So, while Kaliya, this is an important part of this whole lila, or lesson from the Bhagavatam, although he was cursed to become a snake, although previously a sage, his envious mentality didn't change. He was cursed to become a snake because of his envious mentality. He didn't lose it because he became a snake. So, Kaliya, along with his whole serpentine clan, were residing in a place called Ramanaka Lake. Now some say that this Ramanaka Lake is in the area of Fiji. Anybody here from Fiji or has been to Fiji? No? In Fiji, they're very fond of worshipping Krishna, and particularly his form of Kaliya Krishna. Ramanaka Lake was the residence of these associates of Kaliya. And Garuda, knowing that there's a whole colony of snakes over here, would go there sometimes for some food. Because along with fish, snakes are also food for large birds like Garuda. So it was a big problem for the community of snakes, Ramanaka Lake. So they had a little mediation with Garuda. They made a deal. The deal was he would come once a month and they would make specific offerings, very opulent offerings to Garuda. And he would come that once per month, receive what he would like, and then they would not be disturbed the rest of the time. So it was very nice for both parties. And the arrangement was in rotation. Different families of the serpents would take that responsibility to prepare the offering for Garuda, and When it was Kaliya's turn, he didn't want to do that. Because he was envious. Why should Garuda get these offerings? It should be for me. So when it was his turn, he prepared a very nice offering and ate the whole offering. You know, to Garuda. And so Garuda came to know. And he became very angry with Kaliya. And he started with his claws, his talons, and his beak attacking Kaliya. Kaliya fought back. But Garuda is very powerful. And he understood, I'm finished. And so he fled from Garuda. But wherever he went, Garuda pursued him very intently. Finally, Garuda took shelter of his elder brother, Ananta. Ananta, please, please, tell me, what should I do? Garuda is pursuing me. Of course, Ananta understood the envious nature of Kaliya, but said, you're my younger brother, what can I do? I can make this suggestion. You go to a particular lake by the river Jamuna. And in that particular lake, that's one place I know where Garuda will not go. You go to that place, take shelter there, and you'll be safe. Now, why was it that Garuda would not be at all affected? Excuse me. Garuda would not go to this particular lake. And that's another story. The story is described in our scriptures that Sobari Muni was a yogi during Satya Yuga, and his particular meditation style was he would meditate underwater. Prabhupada writes about this, yes? In the Bhagavatam, that he would meditate underwater because he didn't want to be disturbed by any external things. The way that Prabhupada tells the story is he saw two fish having intercourse while meditating underwater, and his mind became agitated. And it interrupted his meditation, so he had to go back to scratch all over again. In this particular case, he was meditating underwater, and Garuda came to catch a fish in the river area of the river Jamuna, just where we are. And Sobari Muni instructed Garuda, don't take fish from this lake. Garuda didn't pay attention, and he took the fish. So Sobari Muni cursed him. You don't come back to this lake ever again. If you do, by my curse, you will at once die. Now, who can curse Garuda? He's an eternal associate of Lord Vishnu. Not possible. But he accepted, understanding somehow there's a plan of the Lord here, and so I will accept this curse. Because he willfully accepted, the curse had some effect. So Ananta informed Kaliya, you can go there and Garuda won't bother you. So he came here. We say the Kaliya Lake, although it's the river Jamuna, which means something like a lagoon. So the river Jamuna is flowing, and some indentation of water that doesn't flow. So it's called a lake within a river. Some lakes are like that. They're just extensions of a river. We call it a lake. Kaliya Lake. And since Satya Yuga, Kaliya had been living here through the whole of Satya Yuga, because this incident of the appearance of the offspring of Kasyapa and Kadru and the other wives who were daughters of Daksha was very early in Satya Yuga. So the whole of Satya Yuga, then the whole of Treta Yuga, and the whole of Dwarpa Yuga. That's a lot of time where Kaliya was residing here in this lake. And he had made, by his enviousness, he had made the whole lake so poisonous Because envy is like poison. And persons that are envious can inflict poison practically on others. The place was so poisonous that the fumes from the lake were so poisonous that as birds would fly over the lake, they would choke on the fumes and fall into the lake dead. And all the trees and growing foliage was completely gone, dead, except for one tree was remaining. We passed by that one tree that was remaining just over there, a big kadamba tree, just on the other side of where we are sitting, where they're doing the construction. There's a big old kadamba tree. It's the same kadamba tree that existed during Krishna's time. In fact, it's the same kadamba tree that existed during Satyug, according to the Puranas, because Garuda knew that Krishna would perform some pastime here, and so he placed some nectar on the root of that tree so the tree would be immortal, like on the heavenly planets. Long, 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 long duration of life. So that one kadamba tree remained standing. So now going back to Krishna, seeing all the cows and cowherd boys looking dead. They were dead. So by his glance, by Krishna's adyaksha, by his glancing over the calves and the cowherd boys, at once they came back to life. How powerful is Krishna's eyes? Unlimitedly powerful. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti. Just by his eyes, Krishna can bring life to the lifeless. But Krishna is omnipotent. By his eyes, he can see offerings that we're making, and he can eat with his eyes or with his ears. Prabhupada said, if we ever tried to eat with our ears, we'd be big trouble. We can't do it, and we'd be harming ourselves. We can't imitate Krishna. Krishna can eat with his eyes. He can eat with his ears. He can bring life to a lifeless person just by glancing. With the eyes of Krishna, or with the eyes of Ramachandra, he boiled the whole Indian Ocean. Those of you that cook, you know, cooking a big feast, how long it may take to boil a big pot of water to make some rice with as much heat as you can get, how long it takes, what to speak of a lake, what to speak of an ocean, just by glancing, how powerful, transcendental, powerful. What to speak of Krishna simply glancing sidelong glances at the gopis. We find in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna was entering Dwarka, the ladies were at the rooftops keeping a respectful and shy distance from Krishna as he was entering into Dwarka. So Krishna simply glanced upon them, and by his glancing upon them, he entered into their eyes and then into their hearts and completely satisfied them as if they were in Krishna's personal embrace. How powerful is Krishna's eyes. Just by glancing, he revived the cowherd boys and cows. And as he knew when he left the home in that very morning, even before he got to the scene of the Kaliya Lake, he knew what he was there for. He knew that this poisonous situation was due to the presence of Kaliya, and he wanted to relieve the Jamuna from this terrible poison so that the cows and the Brijbasis could come and drink their water from the river Jamuna without any problem. So he then began his leela of subduing Kaliya. He climbed up this kadamba tree. He tightened his dhoti around his waist, getting ready for some action. And jumped into the Kaliya Lake and made a big splash. Just like with the Trinavarta demon, Krishna became very, very heavy. Of course he's very heavy. Of course he can be lighter than the lightest and heavier than heaviest at his will. But he became very heavy, just like the entire cosmic manifestation. What's the weight of the entire cosmic manifestation? And there's unlimited numbers of universes that come from the body of Krishna. So his entering into the lake of Kaliya made a huge splash, and big waves went to the shore. And Krishna was splashing around having fun in Kaliya's lake. So just like Vedashira, now even more envious, Kaliya heard this big noise going on in Kaliya Lake, and he came to the surface of the water, looked at Krishna with envy, so much envy that fire was coming from his mouths. Who dares come into my lake? Ah! And immediately went charging at Krishna and tried to bite him. And he bit Krishna in the chest with one of his hoods. He had 1,000 hoods. Each hood had fire coming from the mouth. And Krishna began dodging Kaliya. But Kaliya then caught him and wrapped him up in his coils very tightly. Now this began early in the morning and went on until the afternoon with Krishna in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. Now what did the cowherd boys think when they saw Krishna? They're life and soul in danger. Is it rain out there? Monkey? Oh. It's a role reversal. The usual role is the devotee's in difficulty and they call out for Krishna. There's Nanda Maharaj is entering into the mouth of the big serpent, and they try to stop the serpent and they can't do anything, and they, Krishna, Krishna. Or there's a big forest fire, Krishna, Krishna. Or here comes Aristasura, Krishna, Krishna. It's the devotees that are in difficulty and they call out for Krishna. Here's Krishna in difficulty. Who are they going to call out to? Balaram isn't there. He's at home. They're beside themselves with anxiety. What are they going to do? Terrible grief. And very quickly, you know how bad news spreads fast. Krishna's in danger. All over Braja, all the residents of Braja came to the shore of this Kaliya Ghat to see Krishna in the coils of Kaliya. Their life and soul. The cows were mooing. The peacocks were calling out. The birds were crying. All the animals, all the living entities and all the gopas and gopis and residents of Braja were in terrible distress. One brahmana ran by yogamaya potency. He ran to Nandagram. You know how far it is from here to Nandagram? Supposing we, you know, got in a car and drove in a straight line to Nandagram. It's quite a distance. Devotees once asked Prabhupada, how did Krishna do it? You see how far we've gone with all of our travels? Talavan, Madhuvan, and, you know, just get in a car and go a whole bunch of time and come back. Krishna covered the whole of Braja every day. Devotees asked Prabhupada, how did he do it? One time Prabhupada said, Krishna may have had a big stride. Then another time he said that Vrindavan is like a lotus. And sometimes the lotus opens, and sometimes the lotus closes. And when the lotus closes, then distances become less. The lotus opens, and the distances become greater. So by Krishna's will, things can expand and contract and move at his will, because it's all under his control. That's Krishna. So the Brahmana ran to Nandagram and delivered the message to Nanda Maharaj. Nanda, Nanda, your son is in danger. Come quick. Nanda said, what is it? What is it? What happened? Your son, little Krishna, is in the coils of this dangerous, terrible, thousand-headed serpent with flames coming from his mouth, just tightening around the body of little Krishna. Nanda looked at the messenger and said, don't worry. Hit his arms with these arms. I'll take care of Kaliya. Don't worry. Let's go at once. And Mother Jasoda, I'm going too. No, no, you stay. Everything will be all right. But Mother Jasoda couldn't stay, knowing that Krishna is in danger. What loving mother, knowing that her son is in danger, will stay at home? Immediately she wanted to go. And everyone was preparing, quickly running, and Balaram was just smiling and laughing. He understood Krishna's just playing. Krishna's having fun. There's nothing to worry about. So Balaram came to, and all the residents of Braja, standing by the edge of the lake, looking out and seeing this very difficult circumstance. And they were calling to Krishna, do something. What can we do? They wanted to enter into the lake and try to help Krishna, even though they knew just by entering into the lake at once they would die because the lake is so poisonous. Balaram had to hold back Nanda Maharaj's father from entering the lake. And the elder gopis were holding on to Mother Jasoda to keep her from entering into the Kaliya lake. When the devotees were just fainting as if dead out of this difficult circumstance, Krishna then realized, okay, enough fooling around here, I have to. But one of the nice things of this Leela, as in the Govardhan Leela, the one component that both Leelas share, is that simultaneously all the residents of Braja and all the different rasas were able to experience their relationship with Krishna at the same time. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, all the residents of Braja were able to see Krishna uninterruptedly for 7 days and seven nights, their hearts content. Not a worry in the world. Forget this small fry Indra. Krishna was their everything. So this also, with all of them totally absorbed in Krishna, only in this case, with absolutely nothing in the way of protection, because Krishna is in danger. So it was very, very wonderful Leela for the pleasure of his devotees. Then Krishna exhibited his Mahima potency. He made his body bigger and bigger and bigger, and as he made his body bigger, Kaliya was stretched and stretched, and he tried to make his body bigger, and Krishna made his body bigger than Kaliya can make his body. And he was in terrible pain. Finally, Krishna just made his body very small and slipped out of the grip of the Kaliya serpent and jumped back in the river Jamuna and began swimming in circles and around and around and around and around and around and around. And Kaliya started getting completely dizzy because Krishna was swimming so fast. He was just having fun. And then when Kaliya was exhausted and dizzy, Krishna jumped up on the hoods of Kaliya and stood on his hoods. So while Krishna is standing on his hoods, with his hoods, he tried to reach up and bite Krishna. And when he would try to bite Krishna, Krishna would jump on that hood and go from hood to hood to hood to hood and dance and dance and dance and dance and dance and dance. Once again, everything that we find in this world has its counterpart in the spiritual world. We find dancing in this world sometimes pretty weird varieties of dancing. But Krishna is the original dancer. And he was dancing so expertly on the hoods of the stage of Kaliya Serpent. It was a very special stage too, because on the hoods of the Kaliya Serpent there were jewels that glowed red. And the soles of Krishna's feet are also reddish. So it looked like Krishna's feet were being illumined as he was dancing and dancing and dancing and dancing. Great stage. It was such a wonderful performance that the demigods came playing their musical instruments along to accompany Krishna's dancing, singing nice songs to accompany Krishna's dancing. The Gandharvas and the Kinnaras and the Apsaras also showing their dancing skills, but just amazed by Krishna's dancing. And Krishna's dancing and dancing and dancing, and the residents of Braj are looking, watching with amazement that Krishna's dancing on the hoods of the Kaliya Serpent. To them, it looked like fancy footwork. But to Kaliya, the weight of Krishna was being felt like the weight of the entire universe on each of his hoods. At the same time, it was delicate and delightful. It was also, at the same time, smashing the hoods of the Kaliya Serpent. The description is, at the end of this Leela, the hoods of the Kaliya Serpent were unrecognizable, totally smashed, beyond recognition. Because Krishna's, so when he would raise his hood, curbing the pride and envy of Kaliya. And after a long, long time, finally, the enviousness of Kaliya was completely gone by the purifying touch of Krishna's lotus feet. How envious was Kaliya? Just by the touch of his foot upon the serpent that was swallowing Nanda Maharaj, at once that serpent was released, the Gandharva form that had been cursed in that way. But Kali was so envious. Took a lot of touches of Krishna's lotus feet, smashing him, smashing him, smashing him. Finally, he recognized, this is not just a small boy who has intruded in my lake. This is the personality of Godhead. His faces were so mangled he couldn't speak anything. But within his heart he could recognize, this is the personality of Godhead. And within his heart he surrendered to him. When that stage of the Leela came, the wives of the Kaliya Serpent came forward. And they were very smart. They were devotees. There's a nice lesson here with wives who are pure and elevated being wives of someone who is Kaliya-like. The lesson from this Leela given by our Acharyas is, the wife is to remain faithful depending upon Krishna, and Krishna will make some correction in due course of time, which Krishna did. So the wives of the Kaliya Serpent pushed their little children forward. In the presence of the little children, Krishna's anger subsided. And then they began offering very, very beautiful prayers. And there's pages and pages of very, very elevated prayers. Their understanding was so profound. They could have been the best of scholars. But they were the wives of the Kaliya serpent. And along with recognizing very clearly the position of the personality of Godhead as Krishna himself, they knew that he's all merciful, and they prayed that Krishna forgive the offense and offenses of their husband. And Krishna, on their prayers, forgave the Kaliya serpent. Following the Kaliya's wives, he also regained a little composure and began offering some very beautiful prayers, very much parallel to the wives' prayers. And then Krishna spoke. And Krishna indicated to Kaliya that I came here this morning just to relieve you of your envious disposition. Now that that has been done, I instruct you to leave this lake so that the waters of the Jamuna can again become fresh and free from this poison that you've deposited here. So, along with his wives, they made offerings to the personality of Godhead, worshipped him, all types of valuable ornaments and jewels and beautiful garland stretching to his knees, circumambulated Krishna three times, and off they went back to Ramanaka Lake. Krishna said to them, to Kaliya, when you return there, don't worry that Garuda might come and give you trouble again, because when he sees on your hoods the impressions of my feet, he'll leave you alone. You'll be all right. Garuda won't cause you any difficulty. So they returned to the Ramanaka Lake. Then, this pastime had taken all day long. So Krishna was very cold. He came out of the lake and was warmly embraced by Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda, as if life had been returned to their bodies. Krishna had returned to their presence. We're going to go tomorrow further down this parikrama path to Madan Mohan Temple. That's on top of a hill. And the hill is the Dasha Aditya Tila. Krishna went there to get warm, because he was very cold during the day. He called for the sun to come and with the intensity of 10 suns, Krishna rested on that hill and became again fully warmed. We'll go there tomorrow. And that evening, because it was by that time much later than it is right now, and Krishna said, rather than going back all the way to Nandagram, let us just take rest somewhere in the groves of Vrindavan near the Jamuna River, and we'll have a very nice peaceful night. So Nanda Maharaj, hearing this nice suggestion of Krishna, agreed. And they took rest in one of the forests, and that very night was the first of the two forest fire leelas described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kaliya represents the envious nature of a conditioned soul. To be envious of someone else in this material world means to be envious of Krishna. Behind that, if someone has something that we wish we had and we're envious of that something that other person has, where does that something that other person has come from? comes from Krishna. The root of enviousness is envy of Krishna. And this condition of being envious of Krishna is what brings us to the material world. Raga, dvesha, samutena, dvandva mohena bharata. We covet the position of the supreme enjoyer, and dvesha, we have this bad attitude towards the one who is the supreme lord. Simultaneously, raga, dvesha, samutena, dvandva, mohena, bharata. One becomes bewildered by this feature of duality, raga and dvesha, towards Krishna. Big problem if one has enviousness in his heart. And we can understand that everyone in this material world would not be here unless there was some envy in the heart. Or say it the other way, if we can become free from envy, we can return to the spiritual world. Or say it the other way, if we can't become free from envy, we won't return to the spiritual world. Krishna, please help us. Place your feet upon our head. Be very kind. During the prayers of the Kaliya serpent, the wives of the Kaliya serpent, they were saying, how fortunate is our husband. Even the goddess of fortune could not imagine such benediction as having the feet of Krishna upon her. She massages Krishna's feet, but placing the feet of the Supreme Lord upon her head and have Krishna dance upon his head. How fortunate! What pious activities might our dear husband have undergone? We don't know what good fortune it is that has brought this mercy. We take it as just your merciful nature. You're just merciful upon our husband. For by the touch of your lotus feet, he's now freed. Now how do we get the feet of Krishna on our heads? We can't run up to the deity and place our head on the feet of the deity. And the answer is the devotees of the Lord are at the feet of the Supreme Lord. And if we get the favor of the devotees of the Lord, we've gotten the favor of the feet of the Supreme Lord. And if we offend the devotees of the Lord, we've offended the feet of the Lord. Even the devotees may forgive us, the Lord may not. Therefore, our teaching is to always seek the favor or try to serve and please the devotees of the Lord. And pray to Krishna to be kind upon us and free us from this miserable condition of raga and dvesha towards him, coveting his position as the supreme enjoyer. Let us place Krishna in the position of the supreme enjoyer. Let Krishna be pleased by all that we do. Whatever it is that we're all doing something all the time. Whatever that something is that we do, try to dedicate that to Krishna's happiness, Krishna's pleasure. Put Krishna at the center. And this other tendency to be envious of Krishna being the enjoyer, let it be taken away by Krishna's mercy. You notice this theme of calling for Krishna's mercy, just like Damodar Leela, trying to serve Krishna in a particular way, but not possible without mercy. So, calling out for Krishna's mercy while we're making our endeavors to try to please him in a favorable way. This is our life in devotion to Krishna. So while we're here at the Kaliya Ghat, we can offer our prayers to Krishna that the Kaliya-like tendencies within our heart May Krishna place his lotus feet there instead, taking away all such tendencies from our hearts by his mercy. Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai.